Welcome to Travel Business Success Podcast, teaching you how to start, grow, and succeed with your travel, business, marketing, and career. Brought to you by AdventureBizSuccess.com and your host, Tim Warren. If you're looking for free tips, tools, and resources by industry experts to improve your bottom line, you've come to the right place. Join Tim now with more interviews, trends, best practices, and seasoned advice to help you succeed.
Hey, good day. It's Tourism Tim here with another exciting episode of Tourism Marketing TV that's really, really important if you want to increase your sales. Here's an alarming fact. The reality is that most tourism professionals really stink at something that is critical to generating business, and that is sales follow-up. And I've got here with my good friend Dan Austin with the Austin Lehman Adventures, and we were kind of speculating on what percentage of potential business might be lost in new prospects, and we both see it as a high double-digit figure, maybe 75% of available people that you could turn into prospects and sales are lost simply because you may not be following up or not following up adequately or with enough frequency or the right methodology. So I've got my good friend Dan Austin here, and we're going to look at some the reasons why you need to be doing sales follow-up, some strategies and methodologies on how you should be doing it, and what it looks like, and so that you can start increasing your prospects and increasing your sales conversion and your bottom line. Good morning, Dan.
Morning, Tim.
Good deal. I'm so glad that you're here because I know that you guys are superstars at not only attracting qualified prospects, but really working closely to move them down the path from turning strangers into friends and friends into customers. And that happens over time, doesn't it?
Yeah, sure, Tim. I mean, I kind of look at it as a three-step process. First, you have to have lead generation, and then you have to nurture those leads, and then you have to convert those leads to sales.
Absolutely. Well, before we jump into some sharing some of your strategies on how you guys do it at Austin Lehman, why don't you give our viewers just a quick snapshot of your impressive background in tourism? And I might add, if you could just share some of the awards that you've won, too, which is just very impressive.
Well, I've been fortunate to be surrounded by really good people, and that has actually equated to Austin Lehman really growing our brand and growing our brand as a top flight company. We've been around as the name has been around for a dozen years, another 8 or 10 prior to that. I was in the business, and over the years we've acquired quite a few small companies and kind of rolled it all into where we have a legacy going back 38 years, something like that. Again, we've been fortunate enough to win lots of awards. Just a couple days ago, we got National Geographic's 50 Trips of a Lifetime Award for our Cuba program. Prior to that, Outside Magazine gave us one of their Hall of Fame awards. So, I mean, the hits just keep on coming. And again, I think that's a lot due to our diligence and follow-up with the media as well as with prospects. It's a different story for a different time, but I think that's just as important.
Yeah, I like the way that you've framed it in the three parts stages. So I've always considered the definition of marketing and sales to be radically different, and something I think tourism professionals confuse an awful lot. What do you think about this, Dan? I've always defined marketing as getting your phone to ring or your email to light up, and sales is getting them to give you is when they give you money. And that completes the cycle. Certainly there's processes and strategies, but to me that's the big difference. What do you think?
Oh, sure. It's a pretty simplistic view of it, but yeah, I think that's the bottom line.
Well,
one thing, Tim, though, the two are closely related. I mean, you really have to put some thought into your marketing and what type of people you're marketing, and then make sure that you, again, I might take that one step further and break it down into three, and that is, lead generation is the marketing. Nurturing is kind of the combination of marketing and sales, and then conversion and sales.
Yeah, yeah. And it is. They're totally interrelated and totally connected. And that concept of turning a stranger into a friend and a friend into a customer over time. I mean, you guys have got epic trips all over the world. It's not something that someone just does spontaneously, is it? And they're thinking about it, and they're probably looking at other great choices. And, it takes a while sometimes to make that convert them to finally becoming a client.
Sure, and I think it's gotten even easier for the consumer, where they can just log on to the internet and within seconds have hundreds of options.
Yeah, Yeah, so it's really important to not only grab their attention and get them considering you, but nurture that relationship over time. So what I'd like to do is maybe look a little bit at, how does Austin Lehman nurture those relationships? How do you turn those strangers into friends? And what are some of your primary methodologies for just for starts on, what does sales follow-up look like at Austin Lehman?
All right. I mean, Tim, things have really changed and evolved over the years. Now we're looking a lot more instant email and phone calls and stuff. But what it really reminds me of is in the old days of going to a trade show. You used to see the small companies put forth a lot of energy, effort, and dollars to go to a trade show, collect names, and then they would never follow up with them. I mean, how many of us have gone to a trade show, given somebody our business card, given somebody our phone number, given somebody our name and address, never heard from them again? It just never ceases to amaze me. And then, so you take that today's kind of instant society. Today, people want instant contact, instant results. Everything's at your fingertips. It just compounds at times 10. So, in my opinion, the real benefit of these tools that actually are cause the issue are also a blessing. In other words, it can turn around and you use them in your favor. So instead of being frustrated with kind of that instant contact, instant kind of everything being instant life we live in now, you can use that to your advantage. I mean, how long does it take to pen a quick email? Hey, I got your note. I'll work on it, get back to you. Any kind of contact that starts building that rapport, starts building that, hey, these must be the right guys. I always kind of look at it like if you picture somebody surfing the web, type in a, Montana Adventure Vacations, and you're going to get 30 choices. Typical consumer is going to go down and start hitting 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. And I think it's kind of a foot race to who responds the most appropriately, the quickest. So you went up to all the trouble of getting the top rankings of Google, and then yet you don't follow up. So to me, it's just real simple. Look at it as a foot race to get back to that consumer, answer their questions, and just start building that rapport, which we hope will turn into a long-term relationship.
Yeah, it's you're right. It's really that simple. And when you get back to people so quickly, you're just establishing basic characteristics that people look for in another person: reliability, trustworthiness, timeliness, and those are all keys factors on their decision on who they go with. And so, Dan, let's get back to the scenario of someone's visited your website, they see one of your awesome new tours, and they say, "This looks really good," and they make an inquiry about a particular tour. From Austin Lehman's standpoint, what does a lead follow-up look like initially electronically?
Well, Tim, that's a great question. There's leads come a dozen different ways, more than that. They come, whether it be a direct inquiry from the internet where somebody just captures the email address and sends a generic question. Somebody downloads an itinerary and wants a specific question on a specific trip. Somebody goes online and we have the ability to fill out a reservation online. Lots of different styles and types of inquiries come in. I have to say, email is probably 10 to 2 over phone calls anymore. So the phones might be quiet, but the staff is busy pecking away at responding to emails. And so what we've done is we've gone full circle. At one point it was all automated. People would send in an email, the system would trigger an automated response, so on and so forth. We backed off that a little bit. What we found is that people are now using email more and more as a primary form of communication. So it's really important that they get an immediate response from a real person. So in other words, if you remember the old days of calling up and getting a message machine, you hated it. Everybody hated message machines. So to me, you don't want to do that same thing with an email. That if the primary form of communication is switched from phones to emails, then I think it's important that as soon as humanly possible, the consumer gets real contact from a real person. So what we do is we have a what we call a triage. We have a little bit of a triage center set up where emails come in from 10 different venues, 10 different avenues, 10 different types. They're reviewed by myself, or if I'm not available, somebody else. I assign it to somebody else. And then it's distributed immediately in real time to the right person to respond. If it's if that right person isn't available, or if it's, you know, weird hours of the day or night, they'll get an email that says, "Hey, like to introduce you to Joe Adventure Consultant. He'll be back with you first thing Monday." Some form of immediate contact. Otherwise, as you know, with email, people feel like it just went into a dark hole. Did it go through? Did I hit the right button? Did I have the right address? So to me, it's really important that you spend all your marketing dollars to get that contact. You and I have talked for years about trade shows. I was just at a trade show last week, a home improvement show, and I asked a guy about alarm systems for my new home. And he gave me his card, and I gave him my card, and he says, "I'll follow up with you on Monday and set an appointment." I never heard from him. It drove me nuts to think that he spent $1,000, 3 days of his time, to go stand in this booth and then had a hot lead and didn't follow up on it. You spend all your money to get these leads. It's key that you follow up on them. So email has now replaced trade shows in that same element. I send out all kinds of, I'm a online consumer. And with the exception of the giant Amazon, oftentimes you'll send out an inquiry and you'll never hear back. And that just seems to me that you're shooting yourself in the foot before you ever start.
It's a real waste, and it's sad, and I see it worldwide, and that's why I felt this conversation was so important, because these relationships, as you mentioned earlier, are nourished over time. So after that initial contact, what does some follow-up look like? Let's say you've had some exchange back and forth with the appropriate person, but the person says they haven't committed to a date, or they haven't booked yet. So where does that lead? What's the next step in that nurturing relationship for you guys?
Well, I think that's when technology starts to take over at least a little bit. We have a very robust database, reservation, and CRM system, industry specific, and so basically it's a matter of setting appointments. So you would have that conversation, build that rapport with the potential customer. Guest, we call them, potential guest. And at the end of that call, the salesperson will then decide this was a hot lead, a medium lead, or a cold lead. And then depending on that, all the notes go into the system from that entire call. You know, whether they mentioned they were interested in Yellowstone or Peru or whatever they mentioned, that goes into the system. The level of interest goes into the system. Any notes, if during the call they mention that they, you know, that it's a family program and they've got an 11-year-old and a 12-year-old, that goes into the system. And then after the sales consultant basically hangs up the call, then they go into they're already in it, but they go into the database and they will set the appropriate follow-up, whether it's, you know, based on what they heard. Follow-up in 3 days of the call, follow up 3 days with an email, follow up in a week, follow up in 10 days, don't follow up, delete from the database, you name it. Try and funnel that level of interest down to kind of coordinate the next steps.
The picture you just used of the funnel, I think is really ideal. Is the picture I'd want people to have in their brain as leads come in, that it's a continual process down the sales funnel and at the bottom should generate that sale. So what specifically, what CRM and database software are you using?
Well, right now we're using Peak 15, which is industry specific. It's a paid, there's all kinds of different models out there. This is a user-based model. You pay X amount per user, not X amount per revenue. It's cloud-based, so you can, you know, if I'm working from home and want to pull up the reservation system and look at a file or a travel. So it is a very robust, full-service database reservation software system. I always use the example of Excel. You get Excel installed on your computer and you use about 5% of it, if that. Same thing with any of these softwares. With Peak 15, you know, as a company, we're probably using 50% of its capability. It definitely can do a lot more. We've got it integrated to our website to try and, you know, one of the things you want to try and do, both with the funnel as well as in just general practices, is eliminate as much manual labor as you can. So if you go online and you fill out a catalog request, the system that's already getting downloaded into the system, the email confirmation is generated. So some of that stuff is definitely automated. And again, back to your funnel analogy or our funnel analogy, you know, the sooner you can quit wasting time on people that aren't going to buy your trips, the more you can focus on those that are.
I like the sales representative immediate assessment and of the quality of the lead, as well as the timeline question that no doubt gets addressed with getting some sense of when are you planning on traveling. So let's continue this analogy. There's been the exchange, the appointment's been made, they've found out more about the prospect's needs and desires, but they haven't committed. How many, I call them touch points, how many times might that prospect have a touch point, be it email, phone, direct mail, newsletters, over the next year if they haven't booked? And they're still ranked, let's say, an A or B level. Is there a standard approach?
There really isn't. You know, in the old days of marketing 101, you know, everybody used to say five touch points. I don't know where that came from. Probably goes back to the, you know, dinosaur days. But you used to always think of branding as five. You have to touch somebody five times to get them to buy. I still think along those lines, but it's impossible to say. I mean, it's 1 to 100. Some people require more hand-holding, more education. We have alumni that have traveled with us 52 times.
Wow.
We didn't talk to them. They just sent us a note and say, book me on this trip. You know, it's a no-brainer. So it really just depends on where they're at in their experience, where they're at in the whole cycle. Again, if they're new to adventure travel, it just might take a little bit more time to educate them on what to expect. If they're veterans, pretty easy going.
I want people to hear what you just said, that you've had alumni go with you 52 times. Dan, can you believe it? I've had clients tell me that they don't stay in touch with their alumni. And I thought, what a sad waste for not only the client, but the customer, and the waste of marketing. Aren't those people some of your best advocates and your best?
Well, you know, it's the number that's batted around all the time is you've got your alumni, which is, in our case, is a very strong number. But then you've got the referrals from the alumni.
Yes.
So that makes up, between those two, if that's not making up the majority of your marketing, something's wrong. So then you spend all your marketing dollars to get 30% of your business or 40% of your business, whatever the case may be. So it's not just, you know, when you get a new customer, you have to look at the lifetime value of that customer. Mm-hmm. So, you know, Chuck and Judy on their 54th trip this year, the lifetime value of those two people, it's not just those 54 trips. It's how many people did they tell along the way.
Huge. It's that's where it gets really exciting. And that's why I felt this topic is so important, and it impacts everybody around the world. Now, in your follow-up of leads or in alumni, do you integrate any direct mail or any other methodologies that you have found have been useful in keeping, nurturing that relationship, be they prospects or alumni?
You know, direct mail is somewhat of a dinosaur as well. There's still a ton of conversations going on about a lot of controversy about it, whether it works. The direct mail experts will tell you it absolutely does. I know there's companies in this industry that still count on direct mail. You can see it in their, but they've got very large databases, very sophisticated segmentation, and they're able to really drill down and laser target their marketing. Company our size, you know, kind of mid-range company, direct mail is not as big for us. We just don't do a lot of it. I'd rather invest that money. Obviously, now, as you know, and all your viewers know, the internet. I mean, people are not. They want everything instant. They want to sit down. Oh, I think I'm ready for a vacation. They want to type in and get an instant idea of where they want to go. So our time and energy is much better spent making sure we come up in those search engines when they do type those in.
Yeah, and what another big mistake I've seen, which is just shocking, is that people put all this money and energy into getting ranking, but then their follow up really sucks, and they wonder why they're not selling anything or they're not nurturing these relationships. So that that's why when you and I talked about this topic quite a while ago and have over the years, I knew that this was an important thing. Just to finish up on this prospect scenario that we've been looking at. I noticed on your website recently that you've got the really and very nicely, conspicuously placed on your site. It says "Need live support," and where it's an online chat. How is that working for you? And where have you noticed that's helping or hindering?
Well, it's just first off, I don't think it's hindering. It's just another tool in your toolbox. It's not used a lot. But it doesn't cost a lot. The sales team just log on, and so if they're online, if they're at their desk, they're basically online. So it doesn't take, it's not an extra person or anything like that. So really, it just equates to just another tool in your toolbox. It's not a big part of what we do. I think I've done some tests, and you know, a couple of chats a week, not a lot. I mean, it really isn't. But for those people that like that function. It's not. I always look at everything. What do I like, and what do I do when I'm? Because I am an online consumer, and to me, that's not a big function for me. I rarely use it. But for some people, I have friends that they swear by it. They won't buy from somebody that can't talk to them immediately.
Yeah.
You know, the only thing with that is, like anything, if you're going to do it right. And, you know, don't leave it on and then not be at your desk. Don't leave and make sure that people are, because again, that's good frustrating. Point. If you are using that service and somebody does take a bite at that apple and then all of a sudden they don't get a response, how frustrated are they? Your real goal has to be to take the frustration out of the consumers, you know, totally out of the equation.
Yeah. It is a matter of just providing those answers, getting the people information they want in a very timely manner, is developing that relationship. And on that note, I've seen not only ones where people have put the live chat on, and I've gone back to this one particular relatively large resort site and never, ever seen that is on. And I've checked it various times a day, and I thought, this is hurting them. I'm not the only person that goes back, keeps seeing that this is never on. So it's a really good point to make about making sure it's manned. So moving forward, from your perspective, what do you see, and what would be some of your best recommendations to a fellow tour operator around the world, perhaps a resort owner, on follow-up? And is there any new practices that you're going to do more of, or any new technology coming in? Broad question, but throwing it out there.
The technology is off the charts. I mean, there's Mikado and all these amazing programs that will really drill down to look at where the consumer came from and track them. And, you know, that's a pretty robust CRM. And, you know, I'm just not sure for us and a company our size how appropriate it is. What I'd rather do is really add that. We pride ourselves in being a very high-touch personal company. Everything from, you know, the first contact to the final goodbyes to afterwards. So to us, it's integrating our company philosophy of customer service from that first contact to those final goodbyes to post-trip to the next time. And so we really focus on that and making it and again, we've experimented with this where we did probably go too far automated. We went too far to where, people were getting canned emails. And so we've gotten away from that. We've not come back to our roots of a high-touch customer service, family-run business. You know, you're gonna talk to Dan, you're gonna talk to Carol, you're gonna talk to Casey, or, you know, whatever you're gonna do, you can actually talk to human beings. And the feedback we get from that, I still get comments all the time. I mean, daily. You know, I can't believe that you actually responded to me. I can't believe that I actually got it. You know, and then following up and responding again, and making sure you don't drop that ball. I think that's the key, and that's where technology can help you by setting appointments, by making sure that you've entered them in the queue to where you don't drop that ball once you've invested and got that hot lead.
Well, no surprise that at the core of our business, that this is a personal business. It's all about relationships, and I couldn't agree with you more that what has always worked in the past will always work in the future. And people really appreciate the quality of a relationship. And I really want people to really hear what you just said about that circle. See that circle in the analogy of the prospect coming in, developing a relationship, them going on an awesome, incredible trip and staying connected with them. So it circles back around to lots of referrals and more repeat business. And it just keeps growing. And it's been particularly exciting for me, Dan, and rewarding to see your successes and your growth. And we've known each other for so long, and to see that. And know at the very core is the business development model we're just talking about. So right. Good work.
Yeah, I mean, and it actually also helps keep the business fun. It is as you know, better than anybody, adventure travel is a very personal business. People want to go experience these great places. They want to meet people. Meeting people, people interaction is all part of the business. So making that part of the buying cycle, it just makes all that much more sense.
Outstanding. Well, Dan, as always, it's a real pleasure. I really appreciate your time and your wisdom and your inspiration. And I know that it's going to help fellow global tour operators and travel agents and destinations all over the world. So thank you, sir. I do appreciate it.
You bet. Anytime, Tim.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining your host, Tim Warren, on another Travel Business Success podcast. Since 1994, Tim and his team have helped hundreds of startups to seasoned pros with valuable seminars, articles, books, and no-nonsense advice. For additional tips, tools, and news, plus a free marketing mini-course, visit AdventureBizSuccess.com.